Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Rantaraj Shri Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Go Premanandi. Okay. So what did we discuss last week? Anything else?
Krishna is full of contradiction.
What are some examples?
Well, he says he's the most truthful, but he cheats. Like stealing butter and lying with all the gopis.
Very good. Do you know anyone in this world who is like that? Okay, so any other points?
Everything Yashoda was doing for Krishna's satisfaction, she was feeding the baby, she went to attend the boiling milk, that's also for satisfying Krishna.
Good. Anything else?
Never investigate Krishna.
Very good, yeah. Yeah, these are important points from the ninth chapter. Ninth chapter means the... What is it, chapter 9 called?
Binding of
Yashoda binds Krishna. Now, tonight we'll begin chapter 10. What is chapter 10 called? Deliverance of Manigriva and Nalakuvara. Okay, the two sons of Kuvera. Very good. Okay. So we'll begin chapter 10. Well, we'll go from verses 1 to 13 in chapter 10. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, "O great and powerful saint, what was the cause of Nalakuvara and Manigrivas having been cursed by Narad Muni? What did they do that was so abominable that even Narada, the great sage, became angry at them? Kindly describe this to me." So if you look in the Sanskrit, the word is there, devashe and tamaha. What does tamaha mean? Tamar is going down, yeah.
I mean, in the red, it's darkness.
Yeah. Going down, darkness, or it's translated as anger, which is a feature of the mode of ignorance. So Narad Muni becomes angry. So does that mean that Narad Muni is in the mode of ignorance, or tamagun? No. He is transcendental. So if a great personality becomes angry like Prabhupada or Narada, then that is not material anger. That is spiritual anger. So the fact that Narada is becoming angry at this point, that is not a fault. Anger needs to be controlled, but not... it's not something which... how can you say it? Has to be admonished or discarded or rejected. But anger must be used in Krishna's service. It has uses, anger, but it must be controlled. If you don't have control, then you can commit offences. So therefore, Narada, he had control of his anger completely. So therefore, he was using that to purify Nalakuvara and Manigriva. It was not material. It was completely spiritual. You see, many pastimes where Prabhupada becomes angry, but it's not material. And this is spiritual. So, any points? Okay. Shukadeva Goswami said, "O King Parikshit, because the two sons of Kuvera had been elevated to the association of Lord Shiva, of which they were very much proud, they were allowed to wander in a garden attached to Kailas Hill on the bank of the Mandakini River. Taking advantage of this, they used to drink a kind of liquor called Varuni. Accompanied by women singing after them, they would wander in that garden of flowers, their eyes always rolling in intoxication. So, I'll read the purport. Mitesh, you like to read it.
This was mentioned, some of the material advantages afforded to persons associated with or devoted to Lord Shiva. Apart from Lord Shiva, if one is a devotee of any other demigod, one receives some material advantages. Foolish people, therefore, become devotees of demigods. This has been pointed out and criticized by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Those who are not devotees of Krishna have a taste for women, wine, and so forth. Therefore, they have been described as Rita Jnana, bereft of sense. The Krishna consciousness movement can very easily point out such foolish persons, for they have been indicated in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says, those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by delusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Anyone who is not a devotee of Krishna and does not surrender to Krishna must be considered Naradhama, the lowest of man, and Dushkriti, one who always commits sinful activity. Thus, there is no difficulty in finding out who is a third class or a fourth class man, for one's position can be understood simply by his crucial test. Is he or is he not a devotee of Krishna?
Very good.
Why are devotees of demigods greater in number than the Vaishnavas? The answer is given here. Vaishnavas are not interested in such fourth class pleasures as woman and wine, nor does Krishna love such pleasures.
Yeah, good. What are the points there?
Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kamya Sevaya Dhyana, people who worship the demigods are of less intelligence and they are not able to discriminate what is Shreya from what is short term, short term happiness and long term happiness.
Good. Any other point? That's good. That's fine. So, what is the cause of us all coming to this material world? No? So, Rupa Goswami explains that it is avidya. It begins with ignorance. We forget Krishna. Or you could say that we want to imitate Krishna. That's why we're in this material world. We're trying to be like Krishna. In other words, we're trying to be the Purush. Purush means the enjoyer. So everyone in this material world is covered by Purusha Bhav. Purusha Bhav means you want to be the enjoyer. But the Adi Purush, the Maha Purush, the original enjoyer is Krishna. And his position cannot be taken. We can imitate it. So we come to this material world to imitate Krishna's position. And we try to act like Krishna. And enjoy separately from Krishna. But as Prabhupada points out, this is less intelligent. It means you're covered by ignorance. You're trying to be God. How can you be God? You can't be the enjoyer. It's not your constitutional position. Your constitutional position is Prakriti. Jivara Sarupa Hoy, Krishnara Nitya Das. You're always Krishna's servant, and you cannot change it. So therefore, we come here and we try, unintelligently, to enjoy, separately from Krishna. So, those who are less intelligent, we can understand their position because they're always after material benedictions or they're always after material situations or opulences or enjoyment. That is the nature of the material world. We see that people are after material enjoyment, and as soon as we see that, it means they are unintelligent, lacking intelligence. So this is the nature of the material world. So as devotees, we fight in our inner nature between our lower selves and our higher selves. The desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, or to enjoy material enjoyment. Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam. Bhoga and Aishwarya. Material sense gratification, and Aishwarya means opulence. So these things are impediments on the path of devotion. So it's interesting in this section, because we'll see, we'll discuss it more tomorrow night, but I'll read it tonight as well, just so those, some of you won't be here tomorrow night, so I can read it. I'll read it tomorrow night as well. So deliverance of Nalakovara and Manigriva, what does this anatta represent? What did Putana represent? What did Shakadasura represent? Yeah, good. Trinavata. Yeah, good. Yeah, it's more false arguments like that, Mayavadi arguments and these things. They distract bhakti. Now, what is this one? This one is interesting. It's very obvious, but it's also interesting. This pastime represents the pride and arrogance coming from the feeling that one has an aristocratic birth and is wealthy. Big anatta. And you'll see in this pastime, actually, Prabhupada discusses it in Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur. They analyze it very carefully, very nicely. It's interesting. It gives rise to cruelty to animals. Prabhupada once said, the only reason we come to the material world is to eat meat and have illicit sex. That's why we're here. We like to eat the meat and we like to have illicit sex. So when you're wealthy, what do you want to do? Eat meat? Have illicit sex. It gives rise to cruelty to animals, lust for women, and indulgence in alcohol. That's the material world, right? Drink, have sex, and eat meat, and gamble. So it's basically, if people get too much material facility, what do they do? They just immediately engage in the four sinful activities of Kali Yuga. These further give rise to debauchery of the tongue, uncontrolled eating habits, and loose talking. You can't control your tongue. And then you'll just speak nonsense and you'll eat anything. Then come general hard-heartedness, shamelessness, and all sorts of disgraceful activities. So when you have too much wealth, your heart becomes hard. And you don't offer respect to other people. And become arrogant. And big class divide. Those who are too wealthy, then they disrespect and do not properly treat those who have less. So, Krishna very mercifully breaks down the twin Arjuna trees while tied to the grinding mortar in order to destroy these faults. So Krishna breaks their pride. Standing tall, and then Krishna breaks them down. So it's interesting. So, Prabhupada points out in the small paragraph at the end, why are the devotees of the demigods greater in number than the Vaishnavas? The answer is given here. And Vaishnavas are not interested in such fourth class pleasures as wine and women, nor does Krishna allow such facilities. Krishna will not allow you to have those things. And if you try to have those things, then Krishna will wreck your life. If you try to escape from Krishna, he will break. He'll wreck everything for you, guaranteed. I see myself, whenever I deviate from Krishna consciousness, Krishna wrecks everything very quickly. He puts sand in your sweet rice. All the time. Whenever you try to enjoy separately from him, immediately he is there, putting that sand, wrecking it all for you. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan, a key. Like that. So you cannot escape. So better you don't try to escape. Because if you do try to escape, many pastimes I know, devotees left, and then Krishna wrecked everything. And then you have to come back. Anyway. You have to come back anyway. And my Guru Maharaj, he said one time, he was giving a lecture, he said it's more difficult when you come back. So better you don't do it in the first place. Because if you break the principles, then the taste comes back for sinful activity. And then it's harder to be disciplined and determined. Bhagaishwaya prasaktanam, it says in that verse. You lose your determination. You're like rigid. So try not to fall down. Everyone falls down in spiritual life. Everyone falls down. Everyone has problems. Everyone has difficulties. No, there's no one that doesn't have problems. A couple of years ago in Mayapur, then Gurudas, probably, he's one of Prabhupada's first disciples, Gurudas, one of the famous original men. And he said, he was giving lecture, thousands of devotees there, he said, everyone falls down. Everyone. And then Radhanaswami spoke next. And Radhanaswami picked up that point. And he said, Gurudas Prabhu is right. Everyone falls down. Only Prabhupada doesn't fall down because, you know, Nitya Siddha. But the rest of us, we have problems. But don't go too far. Because if you go far, it'll be much harder to come back. Right? And then you have to struggle. It's enough struggle as it is. It's difficult enough as it is. Don't make it more difficult. Okay. Any points? Within the waters of the Mandakini Ganges, which were crowded with gardens of lotus flowers, the two sons of Kuvera would enjoy young girls, just like two male elephants enjoying in the water with female elephants. Janesh, I want to read them. Ran out of batteries?
People generally go to the Ganges to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here is an example of how foolish persons enter the Ganges to become immoral in sinful life. It is not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Ganges. Everything spiritual and material depends on one's mental condition.
Okay, so what points are there? Yeah, so Prabhupada is pointing out here that, Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, they're committing the greatest offense. There's nothing more offensive. You go to the Ganga, and then you're performing the most abominable activity. You take your clothes off. We cannot even consider this. So the greatest offense, actually. Now, why is it happening?
Intoxication.
Right? Intoxicated with what?
Right.
Pride. Right? Because they're intoxicated. They think, I can do anything. I can do anything. And this is how we become. That's why Krishna says, be very careful. Bhoga and Aishwarya. Material opulence, sense gratification. It makes you mad. You become intoxicated. And then you'll do things which you normally would not do. You see the intoxicated people. Sometimes we go on Harinam in the city at the night time. We see they're all drunk. And they're all dancing. They're intoxicated. When you're intoxicated, you do anything crazy. So you act like a crazy person. So because they're intoxicated, they're acting insanely. And because of this, they're committing the greatest offense. You're offending Mother Ganga. So it's like offending a pure Vaishnava, pure devotee, Mother Ganga. It's the greatest offense. And when Narada is angry. You commit an offense like this in Ganga, and then he gives the curse, heavy curse. You know, thousands of years standing as trees, that's heavy. And the whole time they're conscious, they don't forget, they know. That's heavy curse. So, advancement depends upon your consciousness. Prabhupada says that. You can be in the Ganga, but you cannot be making advancement. They're actually going backwards, even though they're in the Ganga itself, but they're going backwards. You can be in the holy Dham, but if you commit offenses, you don't make advancement. Every day, you can come here to the temple, but if you commit offenses, you don't make advancement. Huh? You can chant the holy name of Krishna 64 rounds a day, but if you commit offenses, you don't make advancement. So it depends on your consciousness while you're doing the activity. It's not the activity. That's not the point. It's Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction, spiritual advancement is based upon the attitude of the performer. Right? So it's your attitude while you're doing the seva. It's not the seva. Anyone can do the seva. Right? Anyone can vacuum this floor. Right? Every one of us can do it. But what's your consciousness when you do it? That's the difference. Right? So this is what Krishna is looking for. Right? So Narada sees their consciousness is wrong, so he has to curse them. Right? So it's a great benediction. So any point? Too much what? Well, yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that soon. Yeah, this point comes out in the next few verses.
Can you also read in the scriptures that the Ganga has purifying power? So how do we understand that in terms of this pastime? And in terms of Prabhupada's statements that he is saying that everything depends on one's consciousness. So in India we see thousands and thousands of people go to take part in the Ganga, but maybe the consciousness is in trials.
Some benefit. You know, the example is given like milk which is touched by the lips of the serpent. So you get some benefit. But because the poison is there, then... So Prabhupada says, like, you chant the holy name, you're committing offense. The holy name is pure, like milk. But then your offense is ruining it. So yeah, they get the purification, but then they ruin the whole thing. You commit an offense. Like, you go to Vrindavan or Mayapur, and you commit an offense, and you're in the most pure place, but you can't get the benefit. And so, or same as chanting the holy name. You chant, but you're offending, you don't get the benefit. Like that. So, anything else? O Maharaj Pariksha, by some auspicious opportunity for the two boys, the great saint Devashi Narada, once appeared there by chance. Seeing them intoxicated with rolling eyes, he could understand their situation. So, SKC. Points there.
The importance of association with pure devotees.
Why it is important?
They will help you to take care of faith.
We don't know us.
I'm asking him.
We used to say that once Guru Maharaj said that don't think I'm the only person who can take you back to God. I mean, yeah, the devotees are good. So association of devotees and pure devotees is very important.
Anyone else want to add something?
In the group that I say there are people only there, others is only there.
Chastisement of a pure devotee and advanced devotee should be always taken as a benediction. So many times you just think of me to serve and then try to get the blessings, but time here you can see the mood of Narmuni, though he's chastised, but on a long term he wanted them to deliver by Lord Krishna. So they personally deliver. So in that way they're more fortunate.
Yeah, that's nice. Good point. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur Prabhupada, they point out that wherever a sadhu goes, he creates auspiciousness. If he goes to an inauspicious place, because of his presence, it all becomes auspicious. So the prime example is Prabhupada. He said Prabhupada go into any situation, and then everything becomes transcendental, becomes transformed by the consciousness of the sadhu. So Narada, Jayapataka Swami, Indradumna Swami, Radha Nasa, all the gurus, they come to the place, the whole place becomes transformed. Because their consciousness, because they bring the holy Dharma, they bring Krishna, they bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to that place. So then the whole place becomes transformed, becomes auspicious. So Narada, he comes there, and then the whole place becomes auspicious. So Prabhupada points out the sadhu deals with you according to your consciousness. So if you're in good consciousness, the sadhu will deal with you appropriately. But if you are in impure consciousness, he will deal with you in a very different way. So Prabhupada points out that whenever we are chastised by the sadhu, that is a great benediction by a saintly person, because he's elevating the consciousness. And the word sadhu means one who cuts. Prabhupada is very, very powerful. I was describing this the last few days. We're telling pastimes. My Guru Maharaj, he told us one time, he chastised us just in that room there. Now it's the reception. It used to be the dining room. So we're serving in prasadam, and he chastised us very heavily. Me and my god brothers. And then he says, do you think it was easy being with Prabhupada? And Prabhupada was much more heavy than that. He was explaining to us much more. He said, I'm easy on you compared to the way Prabhupada. So you think it was easy being with Prabhupada? Prabhupada just like that. He was so powerful. But that was for your benefit. It purifies the consciousness. Removes the false ego. So therefore, whenever the guru speaks, whenever the sadhu speaks, it is for the benefit. So here, Narada is being very heavy, but he needs to be heavy because their consciousness is dull. So therefore, he has to cut through that dullness. You know, if you speak softly to someone who's not behaving properly, it doesn't work. It's like the children, same thing. If the guru does not chastise the disciple, or the father does not chastise the son, they do not develop good quality. So when we say, hey, to say to the children, hey, you behave properly. Hey. Not that. You have to do that because that's for their good. It's the same if someone is not behaving properly. If you do not correct them, then they do not improve. So Narada, he's acting very powerfully. And Prabhupada points out that Krishna sends the sadhu when you're ready. When you're ready, he will send. And the sadhu will rectify the situation. So if you want to reach Krishna, because these boys, they're actually good boys, but they become intoxicated. No, they're good boys. They've been associating with Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is so exalted. So the sons of Kuvera. I mean, Kuvera is an exalted person. He's an intimate associate of Shiva. Very exalted. So, yeah, they're good boys, but then they're becoming intoxicated. So Narada, he comes. Krishna sends Narada. Hey, fix them up. So Narada comes in. Hey. And immediately, you know, then, as soon as they get the curse, they realize, oh, now you'll be trees.
Scary.
Heavy. Imagine you got that curse. Imagine you got the curse. Now you're a tree. That's a heavy curse. Now I would be petrified. If they put there's a tree, that's heavy, man. To stand there all day, you know, like, I can't do anything. Dog just passes water on you. And he just goes on. You can't do anything. A very heavy situation. So Narada, he gets it. He wants to fix these boys. So he has to cut. The sadhu means cut. So when the sadhu cuts us, then we should not feel bad. Prabhupada said we should be appreciative. One time, Giriraj Maharaj. said to Prabhupada. He was very dear to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, sometimes you're so heavy. He said, sometimes you're so heavy. He said, how should we feel? Prabhupada said, you should feel very good that someone cares about you enough that they will point out your faults. Prabhupada could have just let it all go. No, but he pointed it out. So in the sadhu, then he's doing that for our benefit. What is he motivated by? Love. So therefore he's cutting you for your benefit. So you should accept that. Not always easy, but we should accept that. And then you become purified. False ego is diminished. So, any points?
I have a question. The more elevated you are, would punishment be more? So they should know better, so their punishment is greater?
Yeah. The more advanced you are. You commit an offence, you're just a new devotee, it's not as bad. But if you're like a senior devotee and you do something bad, then that's, yeah, much more serious.
So that's probably why they've got thousands of years.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have known better. So, anything else?
One should be also pure enough to take the chastisement. Otherwise, if you take the chastisement, you're not pure enough, then you want to be positive.
Yeah, you have to stick, even when the chastisement is there. You know, that pastime? Tomorrow Krishnamurti gave the land back to Mr. Nair. You know, the pastime? You know, Prabhupada was fighting for 2 years for that land with Mr. Nair. You know, the Bombay land, the Juhu land. Tomorrow Krishnamurti and Shamana, they gave it back to him, to Mr. Nair. Prabhupada said, you could not have. They rang him on the phone. They said, we gave the land back. He said, you could not have. He just hang out the phone. And Prabhupada was in Bombay in 24 hours. And Tamal Krishnamurti said for 2 months, Prabhupada made him sit next to him at his desk. And every life member that came in, he said, this foolish boy is given the land back. For 2 months. And he couldn't do anything. He just said, Prabhupada said, just sit there. 2 months. You know, you can't even imagine. Right? But he didn't give up the service. That's the point. He did not give up the service. He tried to rectify it. And then they got the land back. This is the point. You don't give up. When the guru chow, a senior devotee, chastises you, you don't run away. Devotees these days, they're too sensitive. You say one thing to a devotee, they're like, ooh, you know. Can't take anything these days. In those days, you know, Prabhupada was just chastised. You sit there, right, 2 months, and then just, you know, like that. Humiliation after humiliation. Right, but does not leave. And these days you just get like little chastisement and you're like, ooh. This is not advanced. Advanced devotees, they will accept the chastisement. They keep doing the service. That's the point. Upon seeing Narada, the naked young girls of the demigods were very much ashamed. Afraid of being cursed, they covered their bodies with their garments. But the two sons of Kavera did not do so. Instead, not caring about Narada, they remained naked. So because Narada is so powerful, it changes their consciousness. They see him and they immediately, they realize, just by seeing him. The two boys are so intoxicated, they don't react straight away. But the girls, you know, they see Narada immediately. This is the power of the sadhu. That's why it says Lava Matri. You just see him. It changes your consciousness. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devashi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. So, Jamuna Lila, you want to read them?
Although in the beginning Naradmuni appeared very angry and cursed them, at the end the two demigods, Nalakudeva and Namadeva, were able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna face to face. Thus, the curse was ultimately auspicious and brilliant. One has to judge what kind of curse Narada placed upon them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives herein a good example. When a father finds his child deeply asleep, but the child has to take some medicine to cure some disease, The father pinches the child so that the child will get up and take the medicine. In a similar way, Narada Muni cursed Nakula, Nalakuvera and Manipura in order to cure their disease of material blindness.
So what are the points there? Yeah, everything that comes from the sadhu, that is auspicious. And actually, Prabhupada said that he preferred the chastisement of his Guru Maharaj than the praises. Because chastisement is more beneficial. Chastisement purifies your consciousness. So when the devotee becomes a bit more serious and attached to the Guru, then if the Guru gives some instruction, he becomes more satisfied in the heart. If you just get too much praise, you don't develop good character. And some devotees, they just want praise all the time. That's a defect, actually. My Guru Maharaj used to say that, you know, when people, you know, you cook for the Guru. Guru calms, you cook. But he said, you should just cook and then that's it. You don't need reciprocation from the Guru. You just cook, that's your seva. Now you give to the Guru and he will take the prasad, Krishna's prasad. My Guru Maharaj used to say, it's like devotees used to like sign the subji. You know, you cook, but then it's almost like you've got to write your name. I cook this subji. And then you stand there at the door and the Guru's eating and you're like, ooh. And the Guru's looking at you like, what do you want? And he used to say, you know, unless you give some acknowledgement, they think, oh, you know. But we should not be like that. We should just do the service selflessly. If we get some praise, then that's the Guru's mercy. But we don't have to expect it. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, amanina, manadina, like that. He says, offer respect, but don't expect it back. But that's advanced. That's not easy to come into that consciousness where you don't expect. Everyone wants, I want recognition for what I have done. I want my name on the notice board. I gave this much money. That's why they put the names there, because it encourages everyone, because everyone wants that. Oh, everyone saw I gave that much. My plaque is there. I gave that much money. But actually, that's not the mood of the devotee. The good devotee just does the service, and then if he gets anything in reciprocation, so be it. But he's not attached. So the devotee has to develop that consciousness. So you see that Narada, if he gives chastisement, that is auspicious. If he gives praise, that is auspicious. Whatever comes, that is auspicious. So, any points?
The example given here in Srinath Thakur clearly says that our gurus have got the right medicines for us. They know what treatment has to be given to us. So, what the disease we have. It's our responsibility to accept
it
rather than
rebelling.
Good. Anything else?
I would even say to if Srila Prabhupada was pure from the very beginning, or was he chastised?
Who?
Srila Prabhupada.
Well, Prabhupada is always pure. Prabhupada's an eternal associate of Krishna. So. Yeah. You haven't worked that out yet? How long have you been in this kung fu?
I just wanted to confirm. Yeah. I don't
you never have to ask again. Yeah, Prabhupada Nitya Siddha. Prabhupada is predicted in Chaitanya Mangala. His appearance is predicted. Like, you know, he's not like, not some ordinary person. Even amongst all the devotees, he's not ordinary.
Because I didn't know this anything. Confirmed.
Okay. Rest assured that Prabhupada is Nitya Siddha. He's eternal, so we don't even know who he is, but yeah.
If you read the past tense of all those Srila Prabhupada's disciples, reading the remembrance of Srila Prabhupada nowadays, you see every interaction of each and every devotee is captured there. Everyone gives the realization that when they see Prabhupada,
Yeah.
Prabhu, and I think Satsuru Das, he said that he cooked for Popa, and after washing the lotus feet, he took it and he drank two glasses. And then unknowingly, he said he was jumping for the whole day. So, and then when he opened his mouth, then he said, he describes that as the softest skin he's ever touched in his life. So, it's nothing ordinary in mind.
Yeah, yeah, Prabhupada, nothing ordinary. The color, Prabhupada's skin is like golden. Devotee's just a massage Prabhupada. Prabhupada used to say, people pay a lot of money to have this color skin. He said, I am golden. He'd say so many funny things. He said, they all want skin like this color, but I am golden.
Said
once
that
some devotee
said that he was related to
somehow
Hanumanji.
To what?
He was somehow connected with Hanumanji.
Hanumanji.
So
no, I mean, you compare him to Hanuman. So like who Hanuman is in Ramachandra's pastimes.
And
it's like what Prabhupada is like in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. We don't know who he is. One day we'll find out. Okay, Narad Muni said, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attractions of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having a beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated, but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. Jai Jagannatha.
Among the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, people are certainly conducted by the lower qualities, namely passion and ignorance, and strictly by passion. Conducted by the mode of passion, one becomes more and more involved in material existence. Therefore, human life is meant for subduing the modes of passion and ignorance and advancing in the modes of goodness. This is culture. One must subdue the modes of passion and ignorance. In the mode of passion, when one is falsely proud of wealth, one engages his wealth only for three things, namely wine, women, and gambling. We can actually see, especially in this age, that those who have unnecessary riches simply try to enjoy these three things. In Western civilization, these three things are very common because of an unnecessary increase of wealth. Narad Muni considered all of this in the case of Mani Griha and Nanda Kumara, because he found in them so much pride in the wealth.
What are the points there? Prabhupada explains, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they both explain. Janmaishwarya, Shruta Shribya. So if you have attachment to these four, you can't chant the holy name sincerely. Twam Akinshana Gochara. Akinshana. Akinshana means you have to be without attachment to these. Not that you don't have them, but you have to be unattached to it. You may have these four. Jamma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribya. You may have them, but you must not be attached to it. Otherwise, you cannot chant the holy name sincerely. So you must become Akinshana, which means... But of the four, very interesting, Narada says, the most intoxicating is wealth. If you have money, it's very intoxicating. And it can, not that it will, but it can develop all bad qualities. Now, Prabhupada makes a very interesting point. If you go back to the first canto of the Bhagavatam, it explains that in Kali Yuga people are short-lived, like that, famous verses. So it says that, Prabhupada says in that purport, overindulgence, over-sense gratification. This is the problem in Kali Yuga. It's too readily available. It's never been like this before. 100 years ago, people did not live like this. Right? Now we float around in the air. You know, when you get into a car, right, you're floating in the air. Like, it's like it's a hovercraft. Right? Is it too much opulence? It actually says in the Vedic culture, Shudras should never have vehicles. Back then there were chariots. The Shudras never had a chariot. Right? The Kshatriyas had the chariots. Some of the wealthy Vaishyas would have chariots. Right? Maybe some Brahmanas sometimes they might jump on a chariot to go somewhere, but the Shudras, they don't have these things because they become they misuse them. Kalo, Shudro, Sambhav. Everyone in Kali Yuga is like a Shudra. And now everyone's got a chariot, everyone's got a car, and everyone's intoxicated. And what do they do with the cars? All the wrong things. Everyone's driving their cars to do what? To break the regulative principles. So it's too much sense gratification. And that's demoniac, asuric society. It's like the subterranean heavenly planets. Everyone down there in the subterranean heavenly planets, it says it's more opulent than the heavenly planets. So too much sense gratification. Right? And now what has it become like here on Earth at the moment? Right? It's like the subterranean heavenly planets. It's too much opportunity for sense gratification. And everyone is because of too much sinful activity, they're losing all their pious credit. And then you can't make advancement in spiritual life. So wealth is too dangerous. And Prabhupada says there's too much wealth at the moment. We never lived like this before. You go back 100 years, people didn't live like this. You go back 1,000 years, people did not live like this. You had to walk. You know, just like, you know, from here to 7-Eleven, how far is that? Victoria Avenue, right? How far is that? It's like 500 meters, right? Less than that. Maybe three to four, 500. So it's not far. You know, a few times, like, I have to go down there, the devotee goes, I'll drive you. You know, because I might have a heart attack if I walk all the way. You know, it's like, it's very austere. My God, I could walk all that way, I might die. I could hurt myself. I might even get fit. That would be dangerous. That would be really dangerous. Wow. It's like I was in Mayapur and Bhakti Chiruswami got in the elevator. Maro said, you know, the elevator goes up four floors in the conch building. I was walking and Maro's got in and he turned around and he saw me and said, you know, hop in the elevator and you can come up. I said, no. I said, Maro, I'll walk. And, you know, exercise. You need exercise. The body needs it. And Maro's like, oh, okay. Because yeah, normally everyone wants to get in the elevator. By the time you wait for the elevator to come down, it could be upstairs. This is over-sense gratification. In Kali Yuga, too much sense gratification. And then, too much attachment to simple activity, and you deteriorate your spirit, your ability to make spiritual advancement. So wealth is the most dangerous. It's very interesting. Of the four. Yeah? Better than high birth, better than beauty, better than knowledge, but wealth is the most contaminating. Therefore, devotees have to live in mediocrity. We should not live in poverty because, Chanakya says, poverty is the source of all bad qualities. People in poverty, they turn, unless you're very advanced, but generally if you're in poverty, you'll start doing bad things. You'll start stealing and doing all sorts of things. You see, people in poverty, they become desperate. But too much wealth, that's also does the opposite thing. You also develop bad qualities. Become hard-hearted. Think you're better than everyone else. Like that. So it's interesting. What is the remedy that acharyas discuss in this section? What is the remedy if you have too much wealth? Yeah, well, that's voluntary. That's good. Yeah. It's actually poverty. People who are too attached to wealth, they have to be sunk into poverty to break their attachment. Like Krishna, you may or may not do that to devotees, but devotees, we just should live middle road. You know, if more money comes, it doesn't mean you increase your material facility. It means you just live mediocre. It's like Ambarish Prabhu, right? So he's probably the wealthiest devotee in ISKCON, one of them. Right? He owns Ford and Volvo and Jaguar. He owns the whole thing practically. So he lives in Florida. He mows his own lawn. He just lives in an ordinary house. Doesn't live in a mansion. Just an ordinary house. He grew up in a mansion. He's got his own plane. But, you know, his wealth is, we can't estimate. Sadbhuj Prabhu, he's building the temple, the Bedi Planetarium. He told me, he said, it's another world. The kind of money these people have got, it's another world. The way they live and the way they can live. But he just lives in ordinary, just mows his own lawn, just like ordinary person. Because if he takes it up to too much wealth, too much sense of gratification, it confuses the consciousness and you cannot think of Krishna clearly. So we should always just live mediocre. Don't be too poor, but don't be too rich either. Even if you have the money, start using it for Krishna. What do you do if you get extra money? You go to your Guru Maharaj and say, Guru Maharaj, do you have anything we can do with this money? What do you think he'll say? No? Give it all to me. Yeah. I remember I was with my spiritual master in Vrindavan one time. And we were there and a few devotees there and we were giving him gifts. You know, and then one devotee gave some gift or something like that. And then another devotee gave an envelope so it had Lakshmi in it, money in it. So he said, this is the real gift. He was putting it in his pocket. Said all these other things, they're okay. But so this is the real gift because with this, I can take it to China and I can preach. You know, you can give some mangoes or something like that, that's okay. But you know, but the real gift is. So if you have money, give it to your guru. Spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So, any other points? Because they're using it in Krishna's service. That's the secret. That's the secret. Okay. Unable to control their senses, rascals who are falsely proud of their riches or their birth in aristocratic families are so cruel that to maintain their perishable bodies, which they think will never grow old or die, they kill poor animals without mercy. Sometimes they kill animals merely to enjoy an excursion. So you see that. Whenever the wealthy people get money, they go hunting. That's the sport of the wealthy people. Just like here in Australia, they introduce the rabbits. So then they could take the foxes and the dogs and they could chase and they hunt and they shoot. That's the whole purpose. So it's intoxicating. When you become too wealthy and too proud and too arrogant, and then you think you can just kill anything and like that, and you have the right to do it. So that's the intoxication which comes. That's why you don't become too wealthy. And you see all the wealthy people, they do the worst things. And Ambarish Prabhu, because he was born in that. Like he was born in wealth that we cannot imagine. You know, he had like unbelievable wealth from the time he was born. And he said, they're all miserable. He said, all those people, they're all miserable. He said, his mother is an alcoholic. He said, he didn't know what to do. Just so much money. Well, like it says here in RSA, they just drink. Because they don't know what to do. It's so much money and so much in their possession. They become very hard-hearted. So therefore, if you get money, you have to give to Krishna. Okay. Just keep enough for yourself to keep your body, your soul. Hey, yeah, live comfortably. That's okay. But not too much. Do not become distracted. While living, one may be proud of one's body, thinking oneself a very big man, minister, president, or even demigod. But whatever one may be, after death, his body will turn either into worms, into stool, or into ashes. If one kills poor animals to satisfy the temporary whims of this body, one does not know that he will suffer in his next birth. For such a sinful miscreant must go to hell and suffer the results of his actions. So Prabhupada makes an interesting point in the purport. Nila Gopapu, you can read the purport.
in his words, the three words, Krinivi, Bhashmas, Vindhi. After that, the body will be, they become Krimula, which means monks. For if the body is disposed of without condition, it may be eaten by worms, or else it may be eaten by animals like hawks and vultures, and be turned into food. Those who are most civilized burn the dead body, and thus it becomes ashes. Bhashma, Samyanta. Yet, although the body will be turned into worms, stool or ashes, foolish persons just to maintain it commit many sinful activities. This is certainly regrettable. The human form of body is actually meant for jivasya tattva, jignasa, enlightenment in knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, one must seek shelter of one for spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prabhadyate. One must approach a guru. Who is guru? Shabde paracha nishnatam. A guru is one who has full transcendental knowledge. Unless one approaches a spiritual master, one remains in ignorance. Acharya one purusho veda. One has full knowledge about life when one is acharya one, controlled by the acharya. But when one is conducted by rasoguna or tamoguna, one does not care about anything. Instead, one is all-knowing foolish and risking his life, and therefore continuing to go through suffering after suffering. Such a foolish person does not know how to elevate himself in this world. Instead, he indulges in sinful activities and goes deeper and deeper into the nature.
So what are the points there? What does it mean, Acharya Van? Acharya Van. Yeah, controlled by the hand of the Acharya. So that is how we don't become bewildered in this material world, because Maya is very powerful and all of us will become bewildered. And how do you not become bewildered? You accept subordination to the Guru and then you will not become bewildered. You become his instrument. So if you make money, because like I say, everyone's making money. That's what the whole world's about now. It's what the US election's about now. You know, Donald Trump's only got to where he's got for one reason, because he's promising economic success. Malcolm Turnbull is now fighting to be elected again, and he said this whole election is going to be about economics. That's Kali Yuga. It's all about money. Right? So if you have money, you have to understand that you are the instrument of your guru. That's all. You're only making that money for one reason, to spread Krishna consciousness under the auspices or the direction of your spiritual master. Otherwise, keep it for yourself and you will suffer. Turns into fire. Like that. Like Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, he was given a lot of money and they built a big marble temple in Calcutta, Bagh Bazar. Big temple. And then he said to Prabhupada, at Radhika, and he said, there's a fire in the mutt. He said, better you just sell all the marble and print books. There's too much wealth, too much. Now all the sannyasis are arguing over which room they're going to have. Everyone, when you're too much opulence, everyone becomes bewildered and you forget the preaching mission. You see, Prabhupada himself, and Prabhupada was wealthy like anything. Prabhupada was extremely wealthy. You look up the total assets of ISKCON, it was like phenomenal. Well, Prabhupada owed what he had at his disposal. But he always lived like a sannyasi. And when he went to Mayapur, he lived in that little hut, you know, the hut that's down the front. As you walk in the main gate on the left, Prabhupada's hut. That was Prabhupada's hut. That's where he lived, in that hut. And then you went to his, now, then when they built the Lotus Building, then he lived in that room. But he lived simply. Yeah, and when he walked into that room, it's interesting because they renovated this whole building. When we brought this building in 1974, 75, this building was run down and we had to renovate it, right? So upstairs, they made that whole room very nice. And when Prabhupada walked in, he said, is this for me? That's what he said. He said, is this for me? He couldn't believe it. such an opulent room. He said, is this for me? So Prabhupada lived very simply. And interesting, because if you go up there, just there, there's that bathroom, little bathroom where Prabhupada would take bath. Even, you know, there's a shower there. You know, when I stay upstairs, I take bath in that shower, right? But Prabhupada used the bucket. Wherever he went around the world, he had all this facility, but he would use the bucket. Sometimes I think about that when I'm sitting in there having the shower. I'm thinking, Prabhupada was standing in this exact spot where I'm standing right now and using the bucket. Right? That's how simple he was. Yeah?
He was eating, sitting down and eating.
Yeah,
the photograph.
Just up there. Yeah, that spot. And he's just eating like that. You know, and then one time, is it Shrutikirti Prabhu or Harisori Prabhu? It's one of them. Shrutikirti, I think. So, you know, they did the oil massage every day. Massage Prabhupada's body with oil. He had the oil next to him and didn't have the top on the bottom. Prabhupada said, you will knock it over. Right? But then he didn't listen to Prabhupada, so he just left it. And then he knocked it over and all the oil went. Right? So Prabhupada started scraping up the oil and putting it into the bottom.
Oh my God.
And this is Prabhupada. Prabhupada's a millionaire. And he's scraping up the oil and putting it back into the bottle. That's Prabhupada. You know that other story? I told somewhere last week or two. Shatadanya Prabhu in Mayapur. This is Mayapur, Shatadanya. So Prabhupada had a brass bucket where he used to take bath every day. Brass bucket. The bucket was a bit old. This is Mayapur. It was a bit old. Had a dint in it. So Shatadanya used to go and clean Prabhupada's bathroom. So then he saw the bucket. He thought, this is not good for Prabhupada. Prabhupada needs a new bucket, nice bucket. So he went to the market, brought the same bucket, brand new, all nicer. So Prabhupada came. Prabhupada took bath. He walks out after he took bath. He said, where is the old bucket? And Shatadanya Prabhu said, oh, Prabhupada, I brought you a new one. He said, why? He said, oh, Prabhupada, because it was old. So we threw it out. Prabhupada said, I am old, will you throw me out? He said, bring back the bucket. So they had to go and find the bucket. And they brought it back, and then next day, Prabhupada wouldn't take bath unless he had that bucket. That's Prabhupada.
He's probably teaching them not to be wasteful.
Yeah.
There's no need for that.
Yeah, that's right. And Prabhupada said, just like these days, every time something breaks it, we throw it out. Even at the farm, the one chair was broken yesterday. So the devotees are going, oh, don't throw it, fix it. Prabhupada was like that, fix it. Don't throw it out. That should be the system. So too much wealth becomes intoxicating. And you develop all the bad qualities. While alive, does this body belong to its employer, to the self, to the father, the mother, or the father, or the mother's father? Does it belong to the person who takes it away by force, to the slave master who purchases it, or to the son who burn it in the fire? Or, if the body is burned, does it belong to the dogs that eat it? Amongst the many possible claimants, who is the rightful claimant? Not to ascertain this, but instead to maintain the body by sinful activities is not good. This body, after all, is produced by the unmanifested nature and again annihilated and merged in the natural elements. Therefore, it is common property of everyone. Under the circumstances, who but a rascal claims this property as his own and while maintaining it commits such sinful activities as killing animals just to satisfy his whims? Unless one is a rascal, one cannot commit such sinful activities. Atheistic fools and rascals who are very much proud of wealth fail to see things as they are. Therefore, returning them to poverty is the proper ointment for their eyes so that they may see things as they are. At least a poverty-stricken man can realize how painful poverty is, and therefore he will not want to be in a painful condition like his own. So what's the best thing for them? They're two rich boys, but they're wasting their wealth and their time and their energy, right? They're not in the right context. He says, okay, I'll take everything from you. Right? Trees, there you go. How do you like that? So they become trees, lose everything, and then they suddenly wake up. So Prabhupada says the only, or the Bhagavatam says the only remedy for someone who's wealthy, they have to go into poverty. Breaks the attachment. So Krishna may do that if he chooses. So if you do get wealth, use it for Krishna's service. Otherwise, Krishna might just take it all. Srila Prabhupada ki.